Today on The Grave Talks, Battling Darkness, a conversation with Plato Angelakis. World covered in a shadow of darkness. This is where we find ourselves today. The long-term effects of the stress, anxiety, and depression that have touched all of us are coming to the surface like never before. Along with the negative emotions seem to come hostile forces that feed off of our pain. How do we deal with this? How do we overcome the negativity and try to come out the other side alive, or even possibly stronger? Today we talk about battling darkness with Archbishop Plato Angelakis. This is a question I've wanted to ask someone like yourself for a while. It seems like we are in a very interesting place in our society right now with how we are treating one another, where there's always been mean people out there. There's always been bad people. There's always been, you know, Grinches in the world and such. But for a long period of time, it seemed that as a society, we could interact with our differences and be okay and be functional. And we would look out for someone who maybe, you know, if you saw someone that was having a hard time walking, getting groceries out to their car, you would go and help them. The analogy I'd make today is someone who may be medically compromised or something of that nature, and they're relying on other people to do something simple like put on a mask. And it seems that's just one example of something where we seem to have a lot of difficulty respecting other people for the greater good of everyone. There seems to be a lot of negativity, a lot of real viciousness, a lot of screw you, I don't have to do that because I don't believe this. And they just don't seem to care about anyone else in the mask area. But there's so many areas where it seems we don't have that respect for one another. That's just one example. Do you feel there is some sort of heavier layer of evil going on out there in the world? Because these were people that were otherwise well-meaning, well-intentioned. In many cases, you can look at family members and go, who are these people? Like, these are not the people I grew up with. Why are people being so cold to one another? And it seems to be unexplainable in many ways, because I'm trying to wrap my mind around how otherwise really decent people can suddenly have such little care and respect for their fellow human being. Is there something going on that has increased this over the last handful of years?
I mean, actually, the question isn't really difficult to answer. It's very, very simple. I mean, first of all, it was mentioned in Matthew when Christ talked to his apostles that, you know, in the end times, this was going to happen. We were going to have an indifference to God, and we were going to have indifference to our fellow man. So these are sort of the signs. So that sort of is an indication that we're sort of in the end times. And I do believe in that. To add to that, there's also, of course, there is a layer of evil that has escalated and continues to escalate. There's the suicide rate for young people has just astronomically just went off the charts in the last couple of years. And I think that a lot of it to do with the inability to socialize, because, you know, as we grow, you know, we develop, you know, we need to socialize with our peers and whatnot and go through those stages of development, you know, as such, so that we can, you know, build character and whatever. But you know, the COVID came in, COVID-19 came in, and we've got all these other things coming on the financial market. We've turned into me first, and then when you add the pandemic and the shutdowns and the lockdowns and all the things that go on, the financial hardships and we're, people are like in sort of a survival mode, and that sort of seems to be the human nature. And we stop to think about, you know, it doesn't cost anything. Like, you're right. Like I said, to help someone with the groceries, and it's very difficult, because You know, it doesn't matter who you are. It's like it's hard to get past the fact that, you know, I just got to make ends meet. I just got to run. I'm going to do this and don't have the time to think about the next person, because it's like a doggy dog situation. And I think that's the evil rate of that sort of environment. And we are just now just being very a lot of animosity towards each other in regards to our color and our race and our differences and our political and religious sort of affiliations and whatnot are just like a reason to lash out. It's like, you know, we come bring our anger. So yeah, there is definitely there's something going on, and it is explainable. It's just the current environment, which we didn't create to a point. It was created by our economic, our social, our like in the pandemic, all these things. Kids today are, for example, like, how am I going to buy a house? Like, I need 10% down, 15% down. Houses are $500,000. Like, you know, so they don't see, they don't hope. The young people don't see, like, you know, am I ever going to get married? Am I going to be able to afford a family? Am I going to find a job when I graduate? Like, I can't even go to school. I'm online. Courses have been altered. People don't have that learning experience. They don't have that college experience. I mean, I can go on, but I think you get the point. It's just, you know, all the things that sort of made who we were has just stopped, and we've sort of isolated ourselves, and like we're in the middle of a pandemic, and we're like told not to go out, we have to wear a mask, and all I can see is your eye. God forbid when the masks finally come off, I won't even recognize anybody because all I'm going to remember is their eyes. I don't know what you look like. And, I work in a hospital as a registered nurse, so I'm constantly in gowns and gloves and masks and goggles and face shields. So, I mean, so right off the bat, right there, like it's just there's that antisocial or kind of like that disparity where I can't socialize with my peers. I got to wear that mask, like even in the staff room, except when I have to actually take it off to eat or drink. It stays on for like three quarter of a day. Then we come home, and of course we have to sort of isolate from our families and protect them. So it just goes on and on. I just think the entire it's just getting worse and worse. And of course, technology is increasing. We're more on our computers. Now we're told we can work from home. But when the pandemic is over, people are saying, well, you know what? It's kind of financially more viable for a company. You just continue working from home. Well, that isolation, that sort of antisocial sort of environment we're creating is just going to manifest even to a worse situation than we already are. And then the kids are all on their phones because the only way they can socialize is Facebook and all the other media. And then we have apparently, you know, we're not sure what to believe in the media anymore. We don't know what's going on. So there's a lot of doubt, a lot of stress, a lot of insecurities, if I can say that, and all that added together, it's like, well, you know what? I don't have you. It's basically what it comes down to. I don't have that time for you. I have to worry about how I'm going to bring money home. And I'll be honest, I'm in the same kind of boat. It's very difficult to help people because people want me to just drop what I'm doing and go and help them. And I said, no, I'm going to send you. I'll mail you oil and salt and whatever. I'll give you instructions, and because you know apparently there's a lot that you can do yourself, and to help yourself. I don't need to actually physically be there, because that's the premise of an exorcist and sort of a spiritual deliverance and all that. Is if you have spiritual issues, that's fine. The problem to why you're having spiritual issues, and let's go from there and find the solution to that problem. And now if I need to go there, then of course that will happen. But I'm finding that I don't need to. I'm finding that, you know, a lot of people's problems are their own creation, which I, you know, what we can do. But yeah, I totally agree with you, my friend. It's and I think it's just going to get worse. I think we're just, as more things happen, I don't think this pandemic is going anywhere too quickly. I hate that lack of hope, but I'm being realistic. I don't think it's going away anytime soon. I think more things are going to happen as technology increases. Our that are born today are like, they're born with they're 8 years old. They already have a phone and tablets and laptops, and they're expected to have that just university, you can expect them to do everything online. If you are in class, you're using a lot, you're using technology, you're not writing anything down. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, slowly, inadvertently, we're not really seeing the big picture. We're really disassociating ourselves with other people. So yeah, it's hard to, when you're at a, you got a checkout stand and in front of you short $5 and it's like, it's not that we don't want to get by, we just don't even think about it. I'm sorry, my mind is too consumed with my own problems, and to take 5 minutes to think about what's going on beside you. And, you know, like $5, you can pull your pocket and help that person, help the groceries to the car.
That lack of concern for others or consideration that seems to be missing right now in such large numbers. With all of this strife, all of this anxiety, all of this stress, everything you just described there, this giant cocktail of bad and negativity, I'm assuming, I mean, this sort of thing, this has to increase other things being attracted to it, negative things being attracted to it, and then entering mm-hmm. into people's lives. What have you seen from the spiritual side, from the paranormal, the ghostly side, the demonic side, all of that, since, you know, we're more than a year in now to this pandemic and the isolation and all of the stress that everyone has been feeling? What have you seen in that time period compared to all the previous years that you've been out there? Have you seen an increase and a difference in people's lives and what is affecting them at home that goes beyond just their own mental anguish, but other things coming in and trying to feed off of it?
Yeah, well, yeah, there's a big difference. And the difference is that we've sort of had to make compromises, all of us, because of the pandemic, you know, all our lives rooted in some way or form. And that has, first of all, for number one, has left us open to because in a sense that, you know, it's created an evil environment. So like a negative environment, let's call it a negative, not okay. so much evil. And that is to open us up to things to happen. You'll see an increase in paranormal activity. People's coping mechanisms have been, you know, I mean, if you think about it, you know, you might be 50 years old, and maybe for the last 45 years of life, because, you know, you don't remember being four or five, you know, you've been able to say, for example, you've been able to cope, right, with stress, you know,
sure.
you know, a bill is due, you know, maybe there's an illness in the family, you know, you've got a child, a needy child, or whatever, like all these things that we all have in our lives, right? We have learned to cope, right? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, boom, we have a pandemic. You know, and then all our coping mechanisms either been taken away or been uprooted in such a way that you don't know now what to supplement it with. So here you are. Here's a person who said, okay, this is how I cope. You know, I meditate. I go to the gym. I work out for comfort food. I go out for dinner with the wife once a week. There's marital strife. You can't get out with your family. We take two vacations a year. We vacation a year with the family, with the kids. And all of a sudden, we're not going. So all these things, and there's so many, I can talk forever. All our ways that we cope. I take some time off from work to go to the cottage, right? But we can't go to the cottage because we're told we got to isolate. So all these things that we use to are now gone. So now our stress level's gone up, and now we can't even cope with our basic needs. Add a pandemic, add a child that's got problems, add a child that's acting out, we have behaviors. You can't see your parents. I haven't seen my parents since a year ago Christmas. So mm-hmm. it's been like over a year now. I haven't seen my parents. I talk to them on the phone, but I don't see them. I haven't seen them.
Sure.
Same with like my children. So like, you know, I mean, so you know, all these coping mechanisms, I can't go to the doctor. My doctor's appointments are virtual. I want to go to the doctor and sit down with my doctor and have a little chat and say, you know, I'm having a problem with this. For example, I can't do that. It's like, you know, I'm with you like on the phone. I go, hey, doctor, I got this, help, you know. And, you know, like, so all these things that we used, all these, like, you know, going to the gym, going to work out, going for a jog, taking the dog out, doing this, go get a haircut, even a haircut, a simple haircut. Like me, when my hair goes down on my shoulders and I look like, you know, a BG gone bad, you know, my hair is like buried, you know, and it's way out like here. I'm going, oh my God, like, you know, and it's that, when you can't get a haircut for like 6 months. just go get a simple haircut. For me, for example, that's a good example. To get a nice haircut and look groomed makes me feel so much better. So the fact that I can't go and do that, it elevates my stress. I wake up in the morning, I'm going, oh my God, what is that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I got to go to work and I look like unmade, you know, and people understand that. But for me, it's a personal thing. So when you add all those things, people, number one, they can't cope. They can't cope anymore. Mm-hmm. Their cope mechanisms are no longer there. Their stressors, the things that they do to help with stress relief, which can be like just go to a church meeting. Like for me, being a priest, obviously, I like to go to church. I like to sit in mass, even though I'm not going to mass once in a while. I just like to sit in mass and just listen. Or I like to go to visit a fellow priest, you know, at a church, and we just chat. You know, and we sort of, you know, I may have reconciliation. Because I need to have that sometimes, and that just sort of like it's a nice I feel better. Mm-hmm. Well, that's been taken away from me, so that's my stress relief. I can't do that. I get phone, but it ain't the same thing.
Sure.
You go to the church. Holy water is not available because apparently it's pandemic. You know, we can't touch the Eucharist. We can't holy water. They don't provide holy water. Only the first 10 people that I show up in the church are allowed to be there for mass. Everybody gets turned away. So, you know, so all these things that we use, our prayer time, our rosary time, our group prayer time, our socializing with our friends, going for coffee and tea, spending time with our children, visiting the grandchildren, everybody's got their own coping mechanisms, and they're gone. So there's that stress level, like you know, now you can't even cope with the basic stuff, not in problems at home, right? Now, like, you know, the spouse is not happy because she can't get out and we can't do this. We can't go on vacation. The kids are upset because they're stuck at home. They can't see their friends. This and that. And we just, you know, add on to the pile of stuff to the already stressful stuff. And now you can't even cope. So you got animosity. You're ill-hearted. You don't feel good. You're miserable. You don't sleep well. You're stressed. Where if you're going to get locked out and you don't know if your job's going to be there tomorrow, you're a restaurant owner, you don't know if your store can open up or if you're going to make ends meet or if you're going to get that supplement, you're going to get that stimulus package. We're still waiting to, apparently you guys are probably waiting to pass into the Congress. You know, like all these things come to mind. And all of a sudden you have this environment of negativity.
Yeah.
And that just spawns a petri dish of evil that can come in. So and it does come in. A lot of people fall to their vices because of that. Mm-hmm. They don't go to church. They don't pray anymore. They're too worried about things. So all that they use are gone. So that now leaves the vulnerable, of course. Who's going to come take care of that vulnerability, take advantage of that? Well, that's the evil one. So that's then you see the problems. Because then all of a sudden, you know, you could have been dealing with sort of like maybe abuse when you're younger. So you've been dealing with a post-traumatic stress disorder because you're a veteran. Maybe you're dealing with you've been dealing with all these things for all these years, and you've been managing, right, with all these skills and all these sort of techniques you've been taught. And all of a sudden, everything's thrown out the window because now there's other things been thrown in your back. So now you can't manage. And now all these things are starting to manifest in yourself, your doubts, your fears, your insecurities, and then of course the evil one is just right there waiting to sort of devour, right? And of course the media and the social media, the kids have nothing else to do but be on social media, and you can just only imagine what's on that. And then the kids are acting in, like I said, suicide rate has increased exponentially through the entire world, actually.
Yeah.
Because kids just don't know, they don't see any hope. One girl says, I don't know if I'm going to ever get married. You know, my clock is ticking. You know, I have a child now in this environment. And, I have to work because my husband's out of work. So I have, I mean, all those things. People have to make concessions. And it's really throwing us off our game. You know, when we're sort of like, you know, taking years to get ourselves on track and keep ourselves sort of stable, a stable sort of life that with all our enablers and all our things that help us, all of a sudden everything's out the window. It's a free for all, and it's basically a chaotic world. And of course, people's bad nature. We get miserable at the counter. We yell at someone who doesn't need to be yelled at, or like, leave me alone or go away. And they, you know, I don't have time for you. You know, like, get away from my car. Or like, you know, I don't have time. You know, and you yell at the kids, you yell at the spouse, you know, you yell at the dog. You know,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden you don't realize, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you need this environment in your own family and your own workplace And of course, that just exponentially just grows. And that's what you're seeing.
It felt like we were already on a very rickety track to begin with. And then this came in, and it wasn't just we got derailed. It was like the track was blown up. And now it's like, how do you get all the train cars back on the track that doesn't really even, we don't even know where that track is. This is going to be something that's going to take probably more than a lifetime to kind of get things back into a direction. Let me ask you this.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
When we're talking about all of these things, and you were talking about, touched on a little bit earlier, just trying to do what you do, helping people who need help. And of course, the thing that a lot of folks think of you with is exorcism. They think of, you know, how do I deal with dark spirits that are in my home? You get a lot of those calls, but you can't necessarily go to those homes so readily anymore with everything that's going on, especially just in the last year. And I know you found some ways of sending people things and doing things in a way that may not be what one would necessarily expect. What are some things that you've learned and experienced over this time period of ways that you've still been able to help people and allow people to help themselves who are going through some of these things? If you can talk about that a little bit, give us some examples. Don't have to name names or anything, but just some stories of what you've experienced.
Well, I mean, there's different forms of exorcisms, right? Exorcism could be anything from a baptism to a prayer of deliverance. And prayers of deliverances can be said anywhere. You don't actually have to actually be there. There's a lot of prayers that can be said by the individual that doesn't have to be a clergy. And, of course, there's the main exorcism, which is basically what a priest would do, what you've seen in the – but no, that's a major exorcism. So there's different forms, and it all depends on where you're at and what you need. But, I mean, clients, for example, I've called up and said, there's a station going on, and like there's an earthbound spirit. There's a guy who's harassing me, whatever. And you know, then of course, when speaking to the individual, I would send them a package of stuff. I would give them oil and salt, whatever. And I say, okay, we want you to take a salt bath and try to get some of these attachments off you. I've been to the house, like 6 hours away from me. I can't go. Because I can't even assemble a team to go, for example. And of course, all these restrictions and border closures, I can't go anywhere. So I'll mail the stuff, and then I'll call them on the phone. I'll say, okay, well, let's talk about what's going on. And the first thing I ask is, like, do you go to church? Churches, you can still go, but they're restricted. No, I haven't gone in years. Well, like, do you have a crucifix up in your wall? No. Well, maybe we should start getting one up on the wall. And it's holy water. No, when you go to the church, pick some up. Do you have a Bible? I have to find one. It's in my closet somewhere. Those sorts of things is what I'm finding. So right off the bat, you know, you're calling me for help, and yet you don't even have the basis of what you're asking a Catholic exorcist to come and do a Catholic ritual, and yet you're not even a practicing Catholic. Mm-hmm. You may be Catholic, but not practicing. So you're not even doing your part. Like, you know, I mean, it's not like that's what I call the Harry Potter. You want me to come in and your problems, then you're going to just carry on doing what you normally do, which is nothing, mm-hmm. and expect it all to go away. There's a reason why it's there. There's a reason everything is there. That's just one example. There's many examples. Some people have, you know, most of it has to do with things that they've experienced in their life, open themselves up to an attachment. I mean, a full-blown possession, first of all, they would never ask for help. Mm-hmm. Right off 20, they wouldn't even ask for help.
Sure.
I mean, if you're possessed, you're not going to, the devil, come kick my butt. Like, you know, like they're not going to call you. And unless a family member calls and says, you know, my son and my daughter, he needs help, and they can't even ask for help. There's a difference, right? When someone can call you, can physically and verbally call you up and say, I need help, then they're not that far gone that they can help themselves to some degree. So now what I'm doing is I'm delegating them, and it's actually a good thing, is I'm getting them to do the work. So I mean, for example, this one person, I don't want to have their names, after sending the prayers and sending, like usually when I send a package, it's very specific, right? It encompasses like very generic of everything, like from forgiveness to, you know, like all the sort of things that you could be affected, like, or the things that would have caused your affliction. And in this particular case, this person I found after, you know, they did, you know, certain prayers. They were doing prayer. They started going to church. They started doing things. They had a problem with forgiveness. So there's something that was going on in her life that she says, well, you know, I hold grudges and I can't forgive. Well, I said, right off the bat, if you can't forgive, it ain't going to work. Okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to be able to forgive. You got to give me 100%, and you have to be able to turn it around. It's the lack of the forgiveness that she can't forgive for whatever reason. I haven't got to that point. It could have been maybe from abuse. It could have been from some harm. It could have been for whatever reason. But they can't forgive. Well, you know, it's quite clear in Scripture. If you can't forgive, then God can't do His part. So I can't help you unless you want to. So I'm working through with this person to say, okay, here are some of the prayers that relate to forgiveness and sort of like ritual things. And I said oils and salt, and you put it through the house, and, you know, do the usual things that I would do, and then certain prayers that you can say throughout the house. Now her situation improved, and I didn't even have to go to the house. She started putting crucifixes on the wall. They're praying as a family. She's taking salt, holy water, and exorcism salt, and holy oil baths, apparently, which helps with the attachments coming off. She says, oh my God, even the pain in my back is gone. So I'm seeing dramatic improvement, and I haven't even met this person, and I haven't even been in the house. So, but again, it's her to do the work. Because, you know, and I try to tell people what an exorcist is really someone who's going to come into your home and retrieve the free will you lost by some measure. Either you gave it away or you lost it inadvertently, you did something you wish you didn't do it or whatever. I take it back, give it back to you. Then it's up to you to carry on the journey. So her life needs to change. She needs to learn to forgive. She needs to start doing things around the house, prayer, go to church, because she's Catholic. So do these things. Mm-hmm. If you want change in your life, you need to start doing some changes, because the fact that it's the lack of not doing anything is what has opened you up. And of course, she's been fine up to this point. She says, when did this start? Well, a year ago. Well, what happened a year ago? The pandemic. You see, so there's my point, right? You know, so she's been with all this for so long, and all of a sudden now she's looking for help, because all of a sudden, you know, now there's more stuff. She's out of work. She's supposed to work her, that, whatever. So, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's all these things are happening to her in her life. Now she can't cope. So now she's looking for help. So I said, well, there's other ways to cope. I bring in the spiritual. There's things that you could be doing that you're not doing. Let's try them first. If you still are having trouble, I will make the trip down. But I didn't have to. A week, everything improved. She says the manifestations were gone. I'm sleeping. My pain in my back is gone. We're all praying in the family. We're going to church every once a week. Wow. What a revelation. So I've expected people to do things. So, and everybody's different. I don't care if you're Catholic or not. It doesn't matter. I will help anybody. But I would expect that you try something. I mean, I've had people call me and say, I don't believe in God. I'm atheist. You know, mm-hmm. Okay. And what do you want from me? I want you to come and do an exorcism and in a way so I can go back to living my life and go on, you know, because it's bothering me. Well, if you don't believe in God, then you can't believe in what I'm going to do, because I use God. I use, you know, one of Jesus to do, you know, do you know what I'm saying?
Sure. So
people are not getting it. They're not getting it. First, you want something done, but you're not willing to work. You're not willing to change your ways. Obviously, you're doing something. I didn't even get to that point yet. As soon as they told me you're atheist, but we're not going to church. We don't believe. We it's not going to happen. I mean, at least believe in something. Be a pagan, be something. Like, at least believe in something. I can work with that. But mm-hmm. when you say I can't, but I don't believe in God, and you want me to come, a man of God, to do, you know, so that, you know, you want me to come put a band-aid on your problems, and then you just want to carry on living the life you're living, which is probably not whatever it is you're doing that's causing the problem, but you're not willing to make the changes. Then that's what people don't seem to understand. They're looking for a quick fix. They think, well, let's call an exorcist, come to the house.
It's kind of like, sorry, someone has issue there, they need an exterminator to come in, and you got mice coming in and out of the house, you got bugs everywhere. Okay, the exterminator can come in and get rid of what's currently there, but if you're not going to fix up the holes on the side of your house and stop leaving the scraps of food on the ground and everything that's going to attract these things, it's just going to keep coming back. And what that exterminator does doesn't make a bit of difference, because the problem's back the next day. It's taking charge of one's life. When we're talking about things like having difficulty forgiving, That's an interesting concept, because that's a difficult thing to do in many cases. There's things that are easier to forgive than others. I mean, take, for example, someone who's been through some sort of traumatic abuse or something of that nature, and it went on for many years, right. And now they're finding that there's something else going on. The abuser is gone, but now the victim is being re-victimized by some sort of entity, some sort of negative thing that continues to plague them. And then to define what forgiveness is for that abuse victim towards that abuser. Maybe is that something where people get confused sometimes between the concept of forgiveness versus reconciliation, where one could at some point say, look, I get this person is sick, the abuser, there's something mentally wrong with them that said in their mind that they could do this, and I'm going to forgive because I understand that there's something wrong with them. I don't have to reconcile it. I don't have to say I condone it or think it was okay, but for my own mental well-being and my own health, I can say I forgive that, but I can still not reconcile it and just push this over here and say, this will never be okay. It was never okay and it never will be okay, but I need to forgive so it helps release some of the mental demons, but also if there's something else that is going on within them.
Yeah, well, like a lot of it is, like, I mean, every individual some people are, I've heard some really horrific stories of what some people have gone through, and I could say, yeah, I can understand how you cannot forgive. But the scripture is quite clear. I mean, we have to be able to forgive. Ultimately, that's where we need to get. But I mean, I don't expect the guy to, like, turn the corner and forgive tomorrow. I have seen a quite turnaround. I've seen people turn their lives in a couple months. But again, you know, I mean, it goes back to helping yourself. I mean, I've had someone who's lost a child and just can't get past it, and was having some afflictions and whatever, and you know, just like she was, there's a lot of blame, right? Self blame, and whatever, and guilt and whatever. So yeah, I go to the house and I do my thing, and you know, it's better dealing with it. And I just say, well, what I've done in the house is done. You don't need any more from me. You need to go see a counselor. But then she doesn't want to go. So her affliction continues. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, I mean, again, it goes back to, you need to go take care of yourself. I mean,
yeah.
If you cannot forgive because of, we can forgive a lot of, you know, things that we can't forgive. If it's a marital thing, or if it's an abuse thing or whatever, these are obviously more horrific things. And everybody's different. Some people can't cope. Some people can forgive on a dime, and some people they know, but they need to at least try, mm-hmm. and at least go to a counselor and get that help.
Yeah.
The effort alone, you know, is therapeutic, and it's reconciliating to try, because even if I don't go to the house, you know, you know, you're dealing with guilt and whatever it is that you're dealing with, shame. You know, like at every exorcism I go to, I usually pull the person aside, or every family member, and we do reconciliation. And it's through reconciliation that I find out really is like what when the person starts to confess, they cry out, and they just pour their hearts out. You know, it's there that I see what's the problem. And then we can work with that, right? Mm-hmm. You get the forgiveness, and then, okay, my God, okay, we can move forward. Then we do the exorcism, we do the blessing, and, you know, and then, of course, you start to improve. Yeah, but it's the journey. It's their journey. It's their life. It's their, you know, things that are causing them. They need to go see it. Like, if, I mean, you can be possessed, still have mental health.
Oh, yeah.
It does. It has been. You can have both. You can be bipolar. You can be, you know, dissociated with the personality disorder. You can have things. Schizophrenia. You can have all these things and still be possessed, but still have some measure of mental health. But it does overlap. There are two different things that are going on. I can do my part, but you know, you need to go see a psychiatrist, because you know, you still might need to be on some medication. So it's a combination of one or the other or both. You know, people think, oh, well, if mental health, it's possession. If it's not possession, it's mental health. No, it can be both. Mm-hmm. You may have some social things going on. But, you know, if you're having problems with your kids, you're having problems with your marriage, see a marriage counselor. Like, there's, you need to go do your part. And that part is, you know, and there's ways of, like, you know, communication, going out, spending time, those date nights or whatever. And then, of course, that raises the positive energy, right? That raises the positive, you know, this in the house. And then with that improvement, and then less activity, and then less problems that require my help. So sometimes it's just, you know, the exorcist just needs to lead the person in the right direction and say, okay, my part. Mm-hmm. What's here is clean, you know. You know, you need to go and, like, see a counselor. You need to go see someone about a problem. If you can't forgive because maybe you're going to be abused or whatever, then you need to go see someone about that, because that's something that's not my scope. I can talk to you about some things, but you need to go, and it might be, like, you know, psychotherapy months or years, maybe medications, and that's fine, and that helps. Those are your neighbors, right? And help that you need. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people can't forget. I don't think you're ever going to forget anything that happens to you.
Sure.
Ever. But you can learn. I have seen really harsh cases of how, like, wow, I don't know how this person's ever going to forgive. And they've turned around and they forgive. Because forgiveness is actually freedom. Mm-hmm. Forgive, you're free. You're free from it. When you are still laying on it and you're still mowing that bone and you're still, like, bitter about it, you're really a slave to it.
Yeah,
and it doesn't. And I know it's not even your fault. I mean, it's something that maybe you didn't do, but you become a slave to it, and then it consumes you, and then the evil one is just there, lurking, waiting to jump on board, make things worse, or just to feed off it. So forgiveness is like, you know, you say, hey, you know what, this is not my fault. So I, it's like Jesus says, I forgive them, for they don't know what they crucified Christ on. He's on the cross. He's crucified. He's hanging there. He's not even dead yet, and he's looking down and he sees God, forgive them. Because they know what they're doing, you know, they don't even know what they don't even know why they're doing it. They don't even, like, they don't get it, you know. What, you know, so, you know, he can forgive on the cross. The example is, like, you know, I mean, you know, and it doesn't matter how horrific it is, because they don't know, you know, and it's not their fault. I mean, we, you know, people are raised and they're, you know, and they turn to be crowd to be criminals or whatever. They're not born criminals. They're raised. Be walk, right? You know, their life, whatever happens to them. And, you know, it's, you have to understand that it is what it is. Wrong place, wrong time, someone gets hurt, someone, you know, bad choices. It doesn't matter. Just move on. Mm-hmm. And learn to forgive. But forgiveness to start, you know. And I've had one person say a prayer or forgiveness, and they couldn't, during an exorcism, and they couldn't finish it. I said, well, try it again. And they get through halfway, and they stop. I said, try it again. And, you know, they made 3-4 times until they struggle with the words to get through it to the end. There's a little prayer. It's that one page. And but they get through it. And they're bawling their eyes, whatever. But, my God, I feel so much better. Yeah, well, you start from there. That's the seed that is planted, and you start growing from there. But a lot of the recovery and the liberating that goes on spiritually, they got to do the work. That's what I found. Since the pandemic, that, you know, a lot of it they can do. Yeah, they need, like, you know, support. Call me when you have a lapse. You need, like, whatever. I send you all the tools, the oil, the salt, prayers, the cards, the blessed. I'll send you a Bible. If you haven't got one, I'll send you, you know, whatever. Rosaries, like, anything you need, I will send to you. And then, you know what? It's up to you to do the work. Because before that, it was so easy. Oh, just call the priest. He'll come do the blessing. It's done. No, it's not as simple as that. You need to do. Why is this there? Why is this thing bothering you? And why now? What have you done? Or maybe what have you not done, or have not been doing? And once we find that out, you change it. All of a sudden, their situation changes. You know, and that's what I'm finding. I'm finding that they need to be doing the work, because really it's because I'm gone. Like, I mean, even if I do end up driving 6 hours somewhere and doing a cleansing of a house and a person or animals or a farm or, you know, land or whatever I'm doing, I'm gone. I'm gone at the end of the day, and I can't always return. It's too far away, you know, or whatnot. I'm expecting them to do the work, and if you don't do the work, they don't expect the results, you know. So most times when I talk to people, I can find out. Eventually, through interviews and talking to people, that what it is that they're not doing or should be, that can correct the problem. And that's it. That's all. And that's it. And then there you go. You're on your road to recovery.
And
a little bit of some oil and water. Yeah.
That's going to wrap up part one of our conversation. In part two, how does one forgive an evil act when they continue to be plagued by negativity long after the abuser has left? What are some examples of things people have reported to Plato that he knows need spiritual cleansing during this pandemic that go beyond mental health? How often are people open to doing their part in exercising their own demons? And what does Plato say to someone who claims to want to do their part, yet they're so emotionally drained and have so little energy to do so? Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.